From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 14 and verse 8. We live unto the Lord. If God had willed it, each of us might have entered heaven at the moment of conversion. It was not absolutely necessary for our preparation for immortality that we should tarry here. It is possible for a man to be taken to heaven and to be found meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, though he has but just believed in Jesus. It is true that our sanctification is a long and continued process, and we shall not be perfected till we lay aside our bodies and enter within the veil. But nevertheless, had the Lord so willed it, he might have changed us from imperfection to perfection and have taken us to heaven at once. Why, then, are we here? Would God keep His children out of paradise a single moment longer than necessary? Why is the army of the living God still on the battlefield, when one charge might give them the victory? Why are His children still wandering hither and thither through a maze, when a solitary word from His lips would bring them into the center of their hopes in heaven? The answer is, they are here that they may live unto the Lord, and may bring others to know His love. We remain on earth as sowers to scatter good seed, as plowmen to break up the fallow ground, as heralds publishing salvation. We are here as the salt of the earth to be a blessing to the world. We are here to glorify Christ in our daily life. We are here as workers for Him and as workers together with Him. Let us see that our life answereth its end. Let us live earnest, useful, holy lives, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Meanwhile, we long to be with Him, and daily sing, My heart is with Him on His throne, and ill can brook delay. Each moment listening for the voice, Rise up and come away.
See the King in His beauty, in the land that is far away. When the shadows at length have lifted, and the darkness has turned to day, to behold the Chief of 10,000, while my soul is for joy enough. Suffice for the bliss of heaven that the Lamb is the light thereof. I shall see Him in the glory, the Lamb that once was slain. How I'll then resound the wondrous glory with all
the Lamb that once was slain. can tell the glorious meeting when the Lord shall bring home his own. With one sight all his saints are raptured, the Lamb in the midst of the throne. I shall see his head in the glory, the Lamb that once was slain. How I'll then resound on the story, with all the ransom train.
What is revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit oratory, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who had mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation of God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Wonderful Redemption. The text is chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The elements of redemption include freedom from sin's bondage, complete forgiveness, the fullness of Christ, and the guarantee of a future with him in heaven. Dr. Cairns has emphasized that our salvation is a present possession. If we are in Christ, we are saved now, and we know it. Then this redemption brings us into union with Christ. It is a federal union, uniting believers to Christ in the covenant of redemption. It is a vital or living union. Also, it is a mystical union, for in God's sight we are one with Christ. This union is total, involving the entire man, spirit, soul, and body. Of paramount importance to our redemption is the truth that we are purchased by blood, the precious blood of Christ. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
The fruit of the Spirit is given you in detail. What the fruit is, and what is it? Quite simply, it's the life of Christ manifesting itself to you in all its varied characteristics. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The life of Christ manifesting itself in and through you in all the variety of its characteristics. It's a vital union. It's a mystical union. That's a wonderful word. A mystical union. And here's the mystery in it. We are one with Christ. But contrary to what Lutheranism teaches, we are never going to be deified. It is a valid criticism of the Lutheran theology's doctrine of the person of Christ, that the incarnation becomes more the deification of man than God, the Son, becoming human. If that's too sweeping a statement without any introduction or follow-up, you'll have to forgive me. I will refer you, as I used to do 1982 in theology class, and my theology dictionary had not yet been delivered from the printer. Instead of us writing, having the students write out reams and reams of definition, I used to say, see dictionary. See dictionary. Lisa Tice did me a beautiful little needlework painting which said, see dictionary. Sarcasm. I would tell you, see dictionary anyway, on the humanity of Christ. What I'm saying to you is, we are not deified. There is something, now it's not an equation, it's not an equation at all, but there is a similarity, a spiritual similarity. As God the Son took a true humanity, even a human body, into union with Himself, and deity was not humanized, and humanity was not deified, and there is no confusion of natures. So, in somewhat of a similar mystery, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken us as His spiritual body into a vital but mystical union with Himself. We do not become confused with Christ. We become united to Him. It's a total union that includes the entire man, spirit, soul, and body. It's not just the soul that's united to Christ. And let me tell you, this immediately underscores the dignity of the body of a believer. The body is in vital union with Christ as well. By the way, that's a proof beyond all doubt that the body of believers, the body of every believer, must rise from the dead. For that which is in union with Christ can never, never fail to have the full and the final application of all that He purchased at Calvary. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:15 and again verse 19, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Your bodies are the members of Christ. Not just your souls. Your bodies are the members of Christ. Verse 19, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God. Here's the dignity of a believer's body. Can I stop here for a minute and say, if you're a Christian, that truth is the basis that the Apostle Paul uses for arguing for the holiness of your body, not just of your thoughts, but of your body. Now, obviously, it should start in your thoughts. He talks about moral purity. He talks about sexual purity. And how does he argue? He could well have argued the way some preachers argue today, that sexual promiscuity will, and Paul does mention this, it is hurtful to the body. But he could have gone on and said, look, this is going to bring great hurt into your life. This is going to bring a tremendous mental anguish down the line. It's going to hurt your family. It's going to hurt society. He could have argued all those things, and they're all true. But how does Paul argue it? He says, your body is a member of Christ. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And once that gets through to us, that more than anything else is going to dictate how we employ our bodies. The greatest argument for holiness in the life of a Christian is his union with Christ. His entire union with Christ. And of course, it is an eternal union. It's a union that will never be broken. Jesus said, I give to my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Because when you're in Christ, you're in Christ. He says, no man will pluck them out of my hand. No man can take them out of my Father's hand. Where is the power in heaven, earth, or hell that can take one whom God has placed in Christ out of Christ? That power does not exist. How often I have quoted Romans 8, I have no idea. I think sometimes when I get in the middle of quoting the end part of Romans 8, the devil sometimes, it's wonderful what happens when you're preaching, the thoughts can hit you. The devil can attack you and say, if you've quoted that before, these people are sick, sore, and tired listening to you quote that. Well, if you're sick, sore, and tired of it, you need to get right with God. I say that quite simply. Romans chapter 8. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything sweeter to the heart and mind of a believer than Paul's answer? Who or what can separate us from Christ? And he goes right down the list. What about tribulation? Or distress, or famine, or persecution, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can these separate us? He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he reaches the great climax of his argument. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is an eternal union. God has forged a bond between every single simple believer in Jesus Christ and the Almighty Christ of God, that not all the powers of heaven, earth, and hell combined can ever break. We are in union with Christ. Now can you understand why Paul says, we have redemption. We have it. We possess it. Why? Why? Because it's enjoyed in union with Christ's person. But he makes another statement, and that is, it's a purchased possession. We have it through his blood. In other words, we experience and enjoy redemption, not only in union with Christ's person, but on the merits of Christ's passion, on the merits of Christ's atonement, through his blood. Now here we enter into a vast new area. You'll forgive my constantly repeating the vastness of these subjects that come up, for I'm merely touching on them. I have already, especially this morning, gone out of my way to say that I was not dealing with the New Testament Greek terms that are involved in describing and defining redemption, because they're carrying the cargo of their meaning from the Old Testament, and I wanted to lay that foundation. But those words are important. And the words that are used regarding the rescue of our souls out of slavery and the restoration of our lost inheritance, they are words that speak of the payment of a ransom price. A ransom price. The Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That ransom is the purchase price of our redemption. Let us understand this. Let us not be in any way mealy-mouthed about it. The religion of the Bible is a religion of blood. It is a religion based upon a blood atonement. The Bible knows nothing of God forgiving sins apart from the blood of the Lamb. The Bible knows nothing about the recovery of lost souls and the restoration into the inheritance of the saints in light apart from the blood of the Lamb. Liberals hate it. Unitarians deny it. Compromisers make little of it. Foolish evangelicals talk about the blood falling into the ground of Palestine and corrupting in the dirt beneath the cross. The Bible never speaks of the blood of Christ in such terms. It is precious blood.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.